This is tape two, side one, of Harold Kimball and Ann Fagan interviewing Dr. Frederick Forscher on October 26, 1988. When we stopped, Dr. Forscher, you were telling us about that first job back in New York at the Kosher Hotel. Want to pick up with that and tell us, because somewhere along here I suspect your real career began.
No, it didn't. After this hotel was over, I, during my evening survey, work in the hotel as a busboy, and I became a salad man, as a matter of fact. I was promoted at the end. I met several guests there who asked me, well, what are you going to do when the season is over? And I said, I have nothing in mind. So one of the guests asked me to come to see him at the place on Broadway 555. He was the credit manager of a large import-export firm called Blackman Brothers. So I became a shipping clerk for Blackman Brothers. And in my spare time, we organized other young refugees who lived all in Washington Heights at that time. And we formed a club with the help of the Y, that's the Y,
YMHA,
which was located where the at the end of the George Washington Bridge. It doesn't stand anymore.
It's not the famous 92nd.
The Washington Heights Y. And we found many other immigrants, young people from mostly from Germany, a few from Austria.
These were young women as well as young men.
Yes, we didn't young people, 18, 19 to 22, 23, 24. They didn't know what to do with themselves in the evening, and certainly didn't have much money, and also didn't know the language too well. So we formed this club, which is became known as first as the Youth Group of Washington Heights, and then we split. It was became so big we made two clubs out of it, and I became president of LEF League, that's called Liberty Equality Fraternity League, of Washington Heights. And that's where I met my wife. She is Mia Weiner, born in Heidelberg, and she just attended these meetings one day and decided to join the club.
Her first name is Mia.
Mia.
I A. And her maiden name was
Weiner. W E I N E R.
Did she live with her family in Washington? Had her family been able to come with her?
She lived in Washington Heights. Mm-hmm. Her family came over in 1933, right after Hitler came to power. Mm-hmm. And she had a large family in the States. She could speak fluent English and just graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And but there are many other girls there, which I dated. And this club was a very active club. I still have the newsletter which we published.
Mm-hmm. What sort of English activities did you
Well, mostly social activities. Mm-hmm. With dancers, we went on tours. Mm-hmm. For instance, we went to Washington several times by bus. Or by train, by bus. We went to, in summer we went on Sundays to Rockaway, at John's Beach, and we often met in Van Cortlandt Park, and we had our ball games there. Typical European games, not more soccer than football and Völkerball and so forth.
And you had by this time begun to court your wife?
Well, I didn't really date her till much later. I just met her. That's when I met her. But I dated many of these members of the club. And most of my friends now, good friends, are married through this club and still stay in touch. Some of them did very well and extremely well off in New Jersey and New York. At work at that time, it was a period of unionization, especially of that type of place I worked in. And I joined the union and we went out on strike. And it was one of the military unions called Local 65, a well-known CIO union, Local 65 of the warehouse workers. I also had got a job for one of my friends from the club. And he also went on strike.
Was a strike over wages, was it primarily?
Mostly wages. All this time, of course, we also corresponded with my parents.
Yes.
And the situation got pretty bad. Many of the relatives of my mother's relatives were deported. But she couldn't write anything about the concentration camps. It was, you can read it between the lines.
Yes.
All the letters were censored, both the ones we sent there and the ones they sent out.
Yes.
So, again, I tried to join the army, and luckily, early 1941, Congress passed a law that non-citizens could join the army. So, right away, I was I volunteered, and I joined, was inducted in the army in April 1941. Now, let's remember it was before Pearl Harbor. And basic training in Fort Eustis, Virginia.
Fort
Eustis.
I was at Fort Eustis.
You're
didn't
English
see you. I don't remember you.
Your English by this time, I'm sure, was quite good.
Yeah, it was, so that was acceptable anyway.
Yes.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Before we got to Fort Eustis, of course, we got to Long Island, you know, Camp Upton, to induction center in Camp Upton. And who should I see in Camp Upton? My buddy from Vienna, Franz Widor.
Wow.
So he, sort of a little side issue, he graduated high school with me, matured, and he was accepted in the Austrian army because he wasn't Jewish. He was only half Jewish. He was in the Pioneer Corps while I went to the university and studied and got my vocational degree. Well, when the Nazis came in, he was in the hospital because one of these beams fell on his foot and he had a broken foot. Then they found out that he is half Jewish and they discharged him. And that's how he came over. I don't know how, a cousin of his, he must have arranged for him. I didn't know that he was over here. But we found each other in the camp again. It's very funny. So he went to a different outfit, because he came with a different shipment to Upton. And introduced this...
I don't remember him. He's checking his records.
The army made me, educated me to keeping records.
Yes.
In September, when the basic training was over, I had a mosquito bite, an infected mosquito bite, on my thigh here. So they sent me to the infirmary, and I was in the infirmary for 2 days. By the time these 2 days passed, my outfit
had gone.
Had gone.
Oh dear!
It went to.
Oh, I forgot the ones.
Jacksonville.
Florida.
Yeah,
yes.
And then shipped out from Jacksonville to England, apparently. I'm trying now to find out what actually happened to them. I heard some time ago, many years ago, that the whole top ship was torpedoed and everybody was lost. I tried to verify this with the Army Historical Section right now. It's, somebody's working on it. But it sort of saved my life again, like I was lucky in Vienna.
Yes.
By another...
It was a lucky quirk, mosquito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quirk of fate.
I
was assigned to the separate battalion. Harbor Defense of Delaware.
Harbor Defense?
Yeah, Harbor Defense of Delaware.
Weren't you lucky?
Yes.
And there was, it was long before Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sent down to Fort Lewis, Delaware, to establish a defense position for the shipyard, the Navy shipyard in Philadelphia. That's the entrance, you know, Cape May, Fort Lewis. Well, they didn't know what to do with me, so they sent me to a special school in Fort Monroe, Virginia, which is called Harbor Defense School. And I learned how to lay out a baseline and third order triangulation, photography, and calculations, and interior ballistic, exterior ballistic, and tacking, and all kinds of interesting things. And I graduated.
By the time I was getting closer to Pearl Harbor.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I went back to the outfit. I became a staff sergeant. I wasn't a citizen yet, remember? And when I came back with very good grades, so remember I had training as an architect. I had all the trigonometry and all the mathematics and all the surveying and all the all the basics already from Austria. So it was no big deal for me to pass the school with good grades. And I came back to the Army, I became a master sergeant. And became I jumped the grades, you know, corporal to staff sergeant, and then a master sergeant. And they made me the master sergeant, master gunner of the Harbor Defense of Delaware. And I was in charge of the actual operation, laying out these baselines, and we got really big guns, 16-inch guns, which are the biggest ones on the defense installations. These are peering carriage and I forgot who was the architect, but the engineer, so it was just a job to get this tube up to the to the sand hill there, the gun barrel. And we built towers, observation towers, both in Wildwood, in Cape May, in Fort Lewis, and in Rehoboth, to triangulate the ships out in the ocean. We could see about 20 miles. And I was in charge of the whole layout. And also we laid the minefields to protect the harbor defense. And we had submarine nets to catch them. And I had a great time down there. And it, I invited my my friend Mia to come to visit me, and she did.
What was the actual name in Delaware of that particular place?
It was Fort Lewis.
Oh,
Fort Lewis, Delaware. Where I was stationed. It was manned by the National Guard of Delaware, and I was one of the very few non-National Guard members who. I was sent in to fill some of the open spots in the TO table of organization.
You were there for how long in Delaware?
Well, roughly two years.
Aha, uh-huh, I see. So you were there during the war then? That was your post?
No, there was it's much more to it than that. But I finished the Coast Artillery School in Fort Monroe in January 42. No, that's when I went there. I graduated Master Gunner in March 42. In May 42, I became corporal. I was along with the
Let's move on then from the Delaware experience. What happened next? Your wife to be came to visit. At that time, had you committed yourself to marriage or?
I was more or less ready to marry, but of course I was in the army and
yes.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And on my furloughs, well, that's interesting. Let me talk about this furlough. My very first furlough. Was in December 2nd, 41.
Good timing.
I went to New York to visit friends, and I was playing with my wife's father chess, and I remember very well, it was a Sunday, and Pearl Harbor came along, and news over the radio, all military personnel report back to your base, and I said, I'm not going to go till I get orders from my, don't go by orders from the phone.
From the radio. Yes.
Sure enough, it was about an hour later, telegram came, come back to the base. And I'll never forget that little furlough. When I came back to the base, I was not a sergeant at the time, but I was not a citizen either. We had to watch the patrol the beaches because we knew about the submarines who would drop off these infiltrators. I didn't know about this guy yet at that time, but it was well known to the military that this happens, and we patrolled the beaches, and the patriotic people. I was offering drinks to all the GIs patrolling the beaches, and many of them, they are so drunk by the time they got finished, they were told to shot themselves in the foot.
Oh, dear.
that was the day of the early period when we joined the war.
And during those early times in the war, you were in Delaware still?
I was in Delaware.
Through that period, yes.
And then they sent me to the Master Gunner School in Montfort, Monroe in January 42, and graduate in March. I became a corporal in May, a staff sergeant at the end of May 42 now. and senior citizen. First papers, citizenship papers. September 28, 1942.
So you were still in the army then?
Yeah. Well, I went. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. District Court of Wilmington, Delaware, I became a citizen, September 28, 1942, and it was quite after we entered the war.
Yes.
The defensive portion of the war was coming to an end. The headquarters in Washington recognized that we need other knowledgeable people for the offensive portion of the war. So they tried to select people for additional training, officers training too. I was a master gunner, a master sergeant. The highest rating you can have is a non-commissioned officer. And I didn't want to go to the officer's training school. But the special training command needed more people. And the commanding officer for my outfit kept on sending people to New York, to the CCNY, where they gave them the tests, and they never passed the test. So they finally said, Forsha, you go up, because you got to save the honor of our company. Somebody got to pass these tests. So I went up to take the test in German. They needed intelligence people and engineering, I guess. So they gave me a test in German, which took 3 hours, and I finished in 2, and I walked out, and the guy, a day later, called me and said, obviously, you don't need a training in German. But while you're here, what other test do you want to take while you're here? And I said, well, what have you got? They said, we have basic engineering, we have advanced engineering. Basic engineering, you would lose your master gunner's rating. But if you take advanced engineering in the past, we'll send you to universities and colleges, and you can keep your grade. So I passed the advanced engineering, and they called up my outfit in Delaware, I'm not going to come back. And there was, early in June 1943, I got assigned to NYU.
And you lived in the dormitories there?
Yeah, requisitioned 3 apartment buildings near the Bronx campus. Uh-huh. Bronx campus. Uh-huh. And they put each apartment building had a company, a military company. Mm-hmm. And since I was a master sergeant, I was in charge of the company. So I went from CCNY to NYU with about 15 other guys.
And you went to school there for how long?
I was in charge, and I looked at my record. They assigned me to chemical engineering, and I hate chemical engineering. So I cursed out the H. By the time I got to see from CCNY to NYU, I became a civil engineer. I became a CE rather than a CAG.
Yeah.
And I was there for 3 terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then they needed additional 2 terms. Yeah. I went there in June 43. And because it was so convenient for my wife, she finally decided to agree to get married.
Uh-huh.
So my mother-in-law tried to find a place. Burnside Manor, January 1st, that's the only place that was open. Everything else was booked up. So on January 1st, 1944, while I was in the army, in And we got married in Burnside Manor. Uh-huh. It was a military wedding. I was in uniform. Most of my colleagues from NYU, uh-huh, also in uniforms, to parade. Not all Jewish, uh-huh, mostly non-Jews. And they had a wonderful time. I went back to, had a furlough from 1st to the 8th. Yeah, 1st to the 8th, mm-hmm, of January. And so it happened that Mia was just finishing last term in Hunter College.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah. And
say that again.
We went on our honeymoon to Waldorf Astoria. Mm-hmm. But on the first day of our honeymoon, she had to go back to school to take her finals. And so she finished. And later on, she worked as a social worker. Mm-hmm. And she worked in the Hyers. Mm-hmm. And was one of the key interviewees of people who come over on the boats.
Were you able to live off campus with your wife, or did you have to go back to the dormitory, the military installation?
I had to go back to the dormitory. Hmm. But my school was supposed to be over very soon, hmm, and it was these wartime marriages where you never know how long you're going to be together.
Yes.
So it in March, middle of March, I was told the course is over and we will be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So I, since I was the in charge of this outfit, I got the notices right first. And it turns out that I was transferred with about 15 other students to CCN, from NYU to Princeton to take graduate courses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what a happy turn of events.
So I called up Mia and said, my transfer is to Princeton, and how about coming along?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Princeton. Since I was in charge, I could get myself a lodging outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to be at the campus in the morning to blow the whistle and get everybody together and march into the classes. But this was possible. Mm-hmm. And so for another two terms, I was in Princeton for September.
This
of 44.
40,
of 44,
yeah. 45.
44.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
I got
Let's move on then from what happened after Princeton.
So in all this training I got both in NYU and in Princeton is for the offensive portion of the war.
Mm-hmm.
And of course everybody expected now that in 44 we're going to be transferred to Europe.
Yes.
I volunteered for OSS. But it turns out that they wouldn't take me. Later I found out why. Because my parents never made it out, and if they captured me, they could blackmail me with my parents being in Europe. So instead I was assigned to a separate engineering battalion, 380th Combat Engineering Battalion, which since I was Master Sergeant, I became the head of the motor pool, in charge of about 250 vehicles, from jeeps to the heaviest wreckers and dozers.
This was where?
That was in we started on Fort Pickett,
mm-hmm,
Fort Pickett,
so
Virginia.
Virginia.
Fort Pickett, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But soon we shipped out instead of going west to Europe. East to Europe, we went west to Camp Pendleton, California, and then we shipped over to the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
And I, as I said, I was in charge of the all the equipment
mm-hmm.
of the separate combat engineers. And I told the captain that I don't know how to drive a car. I don't have a license.
And you were in charge of a motor.
But the captain says, that's no problem. You can learn it quickly. And in Camp Pickett, when I was put in charge, it took me a day to learn the Jeep, another day to learn the three-quarter ton, another day to learn the half-ton truck and yeah. three-quarter ton. In a week, I knew all the pieces of equipment. And